CrowPod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the CrowPod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's secondhand news. Holy shit. On the CrowPod here for Friday, October 13th. What a day to bring it back. Oh, boy. I just wanted to start off. Thanks, everybody, for, you know, all the, everybody who's reached out, all the good messages, all the support, everything. Now we're bringing the CrowPod back. Of course, as I said, bringing back some of the old shows. It was going to be part of the slow rollout here. And, you know, Secondhand News was one that people were enjoying there. Again, still looking for Peter Ewart. Got to find Peter Ewart. But, we're going to get this one going. Me and Todd are going to get some stuff going again here. Me and Colin. Hopefully, we'll be bringing back some CrowPod Explains America there for you. Gary Havlin, of course, with the history shows. The Rangers from Sea to Shining Sea. About our trips over here through North America. But, of course, if you weren't here for it before, Secondhand News, well, it's kind of what it says it is. I mean, this is stuff already in the headlines, but, you know, me as a longtime journalist, it does give a little bit more perspective. Also, just angry middle-aged man syndrome. I've got a little bit of that going, too. Speaking of longtime journalists and angry middle-aged men, yeah, just kicking off here. I want to get that Ewan Murray. I don't know what I did in the year I took off of the CrowPod here for him to suddenly unblock me. Honestly, I can't remember why he blocked me. I mean, I could take any number of guesses, but on xtwitter.com, I'm back, able to see the Winchfest of the Hearts Golfists, and part-time, full-time guardian, Scottish football expert, whatever the hell he is. One thing he is reliable. We had him last week. He was complaining about there aren't enough good stories in the media. There's not enough concentration on the good parts of Scottish football. That the media concentrates only on... we're talking about not Scottish media, of course, not dedicated football media, not people like us or the other fine members of the Rangers media family out here, but that the media writ large, world football media, I guess, at large, does not concentrate enough on the good aspects of Scottish football. All they do is, weigh in on that. Well, it's something like last night where VAR strikes again, but we'll get to that one in a second. Now, again, this is Ewan Murray saying this. Again, working for The Guardian, in which capacity he has one of the most prominent roles in football media. Not only as a written journalist, but, let's be honest here. What, the second or third biggest football podcast in the world, has been on it for years, and what's he done with that platform? Bitched and whinged and moaned about every goddamn thing in Scottish football? It's all he's ever done. I mean, they rely on it from him. That, it's one of the few ways that they can get Glenn Denning rustled up from a hangover so that he can join in, because let's be honest, I mean, if you're going to bitch about Scottish football, what else are you going to bitch about besides Rangers? It's laughable on its face to have someone like him again in that position. This tenured state, I guess. I mean, let's be honest. He's not really produced anything of note in years, and yet he persists. He persists, and you know, I mean, it reached almost a comical position. Was that Wednesday? His column on Wednesday was that, you know, if we all face the truth, God's honest truth, what Rangers truly need in the next manager is Steve Clarke. He is the best fit. I mean, you want to sit there in that spot, complain that we can't have honest dialogues about Scottish football, meaningful dialogues about Scottish football, and then you take time to just pump out this. I mean, and let's be, I mean, this is perfectly intended to be, I mean, just drive up the grief merchant market. That's all it is. Knows exactly what he's doing. We don't expect anything less from him anymore, but still, it's, just horribly on brand, I guess. Some international notes, and of course, the continuing managerial search saga. It's like I never left. It's like I never left. So we'll be back for more secondhand news here.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back. Secondhand news on the Cropod here. Again, Friday, October 13th. It's good to be back. Of course, as always, scroll down, find that Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, wherever you're listening to the Cropod right now. Hit that. Help us out. Help me out. Win some stuff from the famous. We've already got four winners this month already. Got some stuff on the way to them. Been talking to Graham there earlier this week. He's already got stuff in the post, so if you were a supporter of the show, hanging around, thank you very much, of course. Love you all. If you're not a supporter of the show, no better time. But yeah, keep on the lookout there. Like I said, we've already got four winners. There's stuff on the way to them. And of course, big thanks to our friends over there at The Famous. Always go find them, thefamousheadwear.co.uk. VAR strikes again. Now, I was not watching the match yesterday because I just don't care. But upon, you know, going through replays and, you know, partaking of the highlight package at the end of the night of the international roundup and whatnot, I'm not convinced that the officials were actually watching it either. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time talking about the play in question. I think, you know, look, long-time listeners of the show, you'll all know that I just don't really care for VAR in pretty much any sport whatsoever. And I think it should truly be limited to a guy in a booth who gets like two replays and about 20 seconds to look at something. And if you can't tell from that, it's not clear and obvious. it stands. I mean, look, it's still sport. There's a human element to the sport. If we want to do away with that, fucking simulate stuff like a trillion times on the Amazon server and just come up with the results there. If not, fucking play. That was a goal. When 20 minutes later, you're having to announce to the stadium why the decision was taken, because nobody really knows. The referee himself signaled for a direct free kick, which would indicate a foul. He didn't signal for offside. It's why it's shit. VAR is shit. It's not good. And again, it should only be used for clear, objective decisions. I'm sorry if, you lost some sleep or anger, or, didn't talk to the family because of what the fuck went on with that yesterday. But once again, I mean, this is what you're going to get with that kind of decision making. I mean, there's a subjective portion to it. There is. And, when you allow that kind of analysis by officials, then you're going to eventually, you get results like that one yesterday. This is, it's the reason why when they were looking to roll this shit out in Scottish football, that I mean, it's a terrible idea. It's the system only works as good as, the material that you've input into it, the people there to execute it. And that's what the output is going to be. That's why, it's not going to be consistent across leagues. Officials aren't as good. Crews aren't as good. And, as we saw last night, it's still a highly subjective analysis. And one that nobody really seemed sure exactly what the fuck they were looking for. There was some good international news yesterday. Phil Hellander is alive and played 90 minutes for Sweden. Just continuing our unbeatable record of players either suddenly being healthy after leaving Rangers or upon Rangers making a managerial change. It's incredible how that kind of stuff works out in football sometimes. Let's just get the managerial. It's not like I've got any fucking news. That's the whole point of this show. Secondhand news. But around some of the reporting on this shit this week, which has been laughable as it drags on yet again. It's our annual let's try to get the manager in before Hibs. We've got this process here where let's be honest. I think it's pretty clear that they were going to go with Lampard, or at least enough of the committee was going to go with Lampard until, the backlash that they saw from supporters. Now, I'm not going to pretend I'm displeased that it worked, but here we are in 2023 with a football operation that's being driven in its most important decision-making, right? This is the most important position, most important man in the organization. It's still being driven by that sort of input decision-making with this is not what you want to see. That's been followed this week by waffle stories from, access people, which to be fair, it's all they've got to report. I mean, I'm not going to drag them because, the Rangers can't get off their ass and actually do something in a efficient, timely manner. But there was one, I think it was the Record. I don't know. I mean, it's all been just fucking ridiculous shit. And it's so goddamn transparent how much of it is sounding board nonsense that they're putting out through, you know, whoever's channel what. You know, Bisgrove has his people. Park has his people. Bennett has his people. You know, it's, you can always say something like, but I think it was the one in the record that came out, you know, that was doing the reassurance that, you know, we're really sitting here in this committee stage analyzing the final candidates here, you know, this last group. And then part of that, part of the reassurances, and this really smacked it, because I can't imagine. Well, I can. I mean, there are a lot of reporters at the record. You know, you put air quotes around that. But the Rangers had an extensive short list of candidates. Quote, extensive short list. Now, I've been out of, you know, media. Well, the traditional media here for a while. But I have run organizations since then, you know, various pubs and whatnot. I don't recall ever in my time having a short list of candidates for a critical position that was extensive, because, you know, that kind of defies the purpose of the short list. It is just, and this is what we saw it last year. You know, we saw it when Beal was coming. I mean, at least in the first couple of days, we saw it with Gio, who was practically begging for the job, and yet somehow we still couldn't get him in time. That, you know, because they're so static, because things are not progressing at a pace that they should. You know, I mean, again, we knew Beal should, I mean, we all knew Beal was going to be gone after the Old Firm. Surely they did. And here we are with the opportunity again of an international break to get somebody in position to get things moving. And we're going to come up against it in terms of having them in place for what's a fairly fucking big fixture in the context of this season right now, because we're doing everything again with this committee process like it's fucking 2005. This again, something you can go back, you won't have to scroll very far, you can go back to shows from last autumn that we were doing here talking about the inefficiencies and the just lack of structure from the boardroom through the executive committee that permeates onto the park, into the playing squad, because we don't know what the fuck we're doing. And this is the outcome, again, not like for the first time, not like we're just suddenly experiencing this now. This is the outcome again. All right, our annual managerial search in the first week of October. This is the outcome again of those processes not being in place and not trusting or putting competent executives in place to begin with. I mean, you have a CEO to drive and dictate and run. I mean, fucking execute for the organization. The board can have final input, of course, but the CEO should be able to walk into that fucking office and say, this is the fucking guy. This is who we're going with. Instead, we have a commercial director who, among his many brilliant ideas, was the Australian friendly, the Turkish money laundering scheme. You know, it becomes disheartening this many years into the project now with this group, that we're still sat here with this kind of dysfunction, this kind of indecision making around the single most important role in any football club. And knowing my luck, by the time I get done and put this out, they'll have just announced the Oklahoma Muskrat. But I doubt it. I doubt it. One more quick break. I got a little thing here from American Sport. So if you don't give a shit about that, you're done. But we're going to come back with just a little bit more secondhand news here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, last little bit of secondhand news. Like I said, it's American sports, but you know, this is sports media shit. This is kind of the kind of fun shit that I get down on. From the world of Major League Baseball, of course. Well, we've had three 100-win teams already eliminated from the postseason this year, which has caused a whole slew of stupid about how we need to rework the playoff system for baseball and everything. As if a playoff system in of itself is not a fucking crapshoot. That's part of why you fucking do it. I mean, if not, just give out the damn trophy at the end of the regular season, right? I mean, whatever. Setting that one aside, Jake Minnitz, who's been a very good reporter in Major League Baseball for a number of years. On the forefront in terms of the shift, into a digital-driven landscape. I'm not talking about, like, the bullshit clickbait kind of stuff. The stuff that, stuff like this. I mean, the guy was doing pretty good podcasts a long time ago. But he hasn't just settled there. Jake Minnitz is part of the Baseball Writers Association of America. He's a regular beat reporter, home and away. Works for national outlets. And the other day, overheard, during media availability in the locker room, a player on the Braves making a... Braves out, playoffs. Shouldn't come as a shock for anybody who follows baseball even semi-regularly that the Braves are gone. But I'd overheard a player saying, fairly disparaging, tongue-in-cheek, but still fairly disparaging comments about the Philadelphia Phillies' Bryce Harper, who, is actually like outperforming Babe Ruth in the playoffs as a member of the Phillies so far, which of course becomes a story only if and when the Phillies then just take the Braves to the fucking cleaners like they did, eliminating them last night. Now this has become a story because you've got a whole subsection of media with nothing better to do than bitch and whinge. Hi, Ian. And, I don't know. I kind of liken that it's a clique, Keith Jackson would be involved in, Graham Spears still involved in, who said, they came out against Minnitz saying, first of all, the clubhouse is sacred ground. Now, the clubhouse in this case, when it comes to media availability, is kind of like tunnel interviews. You're on camera. You know the media is in there. There's a fucking guy in every clubhouse in American sports whose job it is to tell you that the media is coming in They've got 15 minutes of availability. They got 20 minutes. They got their whatever the fuck it is. And if you don't want to talk, or if you can't stop yourself from saying fucking something dumb, almost every single team has like a second clubhouse available to players who don't want to deal with the fucking media. Or you go find a room down the hallway, or you go hang out near the showers, or you just stay the fuck out of there. Anybody who's been in the locker room has seen that. Look, there are players who will do the absolute minimum their contract requires, if it requires it at all, in terms of media engagements over the course of the season. This was said with cameras and microphones rolling by a Braves player during media availability in their locker room during the prescribed media availability. I mean, it's like, and somehow you've got, well, Alana Rizzo, who I believe, now she's an access reporter, which is ironic because she's used that access to break up the marriages of, I think, two different Major League Baseball players now. But she was on yesterday calling, you know, minutes, some jack-off blogger, blah, I don't even know. Which, like, what? He's part of the fucking Baseball Writers Association. He actually covers a beat. This is her on MLB Network yesterday, right? She's getting a paycheck from the fucking league to go on and spout this shit about this guy. And a whole slew of names joined her. The type that you would expect, the Keith Jacksons of baseball media. Thankfully, you know, smart people are also allowed to enter the conversation. Minutes, you know, I don't think he's feeling too bad about it. But, you know, all this just as a reminder that, don't be caught with your fucking dick in the wind and blame a reporter because, you know, you fucked up your job, right? See how this kind of ties back to the last segment there? All right. Uh-huh. Secondhand news, all right? I think that'll wrap it up. Like I said, thank you all again for your support coming back. We are, of course, doing the big show again next Tuesday. I will be back doing more of these. We're going to drag out all the other shows. Everything is coming back. Go support the show, please. Thank you. Love you all. Buy me a coffee down there in the show notes. buymeacoffee.com/avoid. Or you can go to support.thecopelandroad.org. Do it there. Again, giving away a ton of stuff from our good friends at the famous four people already won this month. We've got more to win this month. We've got more to win next month. I'm going to fill Christmas stockings with crow pod cheer. That's my goal for the end of the year. So we will talk to y'all soon, definitely by next Tuesday. See you then.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't even fucking see this at all.